The young man who rings the bell at the brothel is unconsciously looking for a God. The deep need under the need is spiritual. It's what Blaise Pascal meant when he wrote that there is a God-shaped vacuum at the heart of every person.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you've joined us today in this series through the Sermon on the Mount. Pastor Philip, the God-shaped hole in our heart, how does that manifest itself in our lives?
Well, it shows up in all kinds of ways. You know, we're made for God, and only He can satisfy our souls. But we wake up in this universe and we don't have a good relationship with God. It's broken because of sin. That's our, you know, our world and our choices. And so the reality is we end up trying to cope our way through life by finding other things to fill that God-shaped hole. And the Bible calls that idolatry. It's where we're looking for all those needs to be met in all the wrong places. We're worshiping idols, really. And lust is one of those. It's this deep desire where we say, I've got to go get my needs met. I've got to meet these deep spiritual achings and longings to fill this hole, this emptiness inside of me. And so we try to use sexuality in order to fill that vacuum, and it never works. And so that's the need underneath the need, that underneath everything we're doing, all the temptations, all the lust, there's ultimately a deep cosmic ache for home, for relationship with God. And once we realize that, it starts to change everything. That's what Jesus is going to teach us about today.
We want you to stay tuned, because after the message, Pastor Philip is going to give us some real specifics, and we're going to delve a little deeper into this topic. So let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we explore how God ultimately satisfies our deepest longings. This is part three of the sermon, Lust in the Eyes. Grab your Bibles. We're in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 27 through 30.
Come, follow me. Turn away from all the way you're living related to this whole issue of sexuality. You need a whole new way, a whole new life. Come to me by grace through faith in me. I can give you a heart of new affections, a heart of new affections. Remember, Jesus said, for unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. The righteousness that you and I need is a goodness of heart like God himself, full of loving, self-giving, and covenant faithfulness that honors our brothers and sisters as those who bear the image of God. But our hearts are not like that. Our hearts are a mess. Our hearts are chock full of sin, drowning in lust. They're filled with predatory impulses and insatiable desire, which is why, friends, Jesus is our only hope. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's on offer in myself, Jesus says. Come to me, believe in me, follow me, and I will lead you into the abundant life of the kingdom of heaven, because I'm here to establish the new covenant of the Spirit. I'm here to establish the new covenant of the Spirit. Remember when King David in the Old Testament was found out for all of his sexual sin and abuse? Remember that? He confessed his sin in a document we now have. It's Psalm 51. And he cried out to God. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He realized that his physical sins were just the tip of the iceberg. Lust, murderous lust, had contaminated the depths of his heart. He was selfish to the core, and he needed cleansing, not just on the outside, but on the inside. He needed more than just clean behavior and right actions. He needed a clean heart and a right spirit. It's the very same thing that the people of Israel needed. The history of the Bible is that time and time again, the Israelite people's hearts continued to wander away from God, and they cheated on him with foreign idols. They were unfaithful to him time and time again, and the problem lay deeper in their hearts than just in their behavior. Adding more laws will never help us deal with the deepest flaw that we have in our hearts, and that is that we are wicked on the inside. Our hearts are monstrous, full of unfaithful lust. That is our problem. Which is why God in Ezekiel 36, verses 25 and 27, makes this promise to the people of Israel. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules. Friends, don't you see? When Jesus comes and offers us the abundant life of the kingdom of heaven, he is inviting us by grace through faith into the new covenant of the Spirit, which he will establish through his substitutionary and atoning death on the cross. That when we come to Jesus and admit that we are sinners far from God, that when we believe that Jesus has done everything to make us right with him and commit our lives to him, say, be my Savior, be my Lord, be my everything, he comes and cleanses our hearts from all unrighteousness. He forgives us of all of our iniquities. He gives us a new heart and a new spirit. He makes us tender and willing to obey him. He fills us with his Holy Spirit, who now leads and guides us in the paths of righteousness so that we bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives from the inside out. He is teaching us to live not as orphans, but as children of God. Friends, we are not orphans. We are children of God. An orphan goes through life fending for themselves, making sure all their needs are met because they don't have anyone looking out for them. And in the heart of an orphan, cultivated lust is natural. Because no one's looking out for me, and so I have to make sure my deep needs are met. I need to feel secure in the universe. I want to feel significant and valued. I want to feel satisfied and happy. And if I have to use other people to get what I need, I'll do it. I'll cultivate lust. I'm on my own, after all. It's the heart of an orphan, you see. But the Spirit teaches us to cry out, Abba, Father. He reminds us that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we are children of God. We're not on our own. We don't have to fend for ourselves. We have a good Father who delights in us and loves us and loves to give good gifts to his children. And he knows everything we need, even before we ask him. And the Spirit is teaching us to look to our Father for the security we deeply long for, that he will never leave us or forsake us, for the significance we need. He has crowned us with glory and honor in Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters forever, for the satisfaction we most desperately ache for, because in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Friends, don't you see? As a child of God, I can drink deeply of the spiritual resources that are available in relationship with my Father, so that I now am full of the love that God has for me. And so I go into the world to pour myself out in love and selfless, self-giving, and faithfulness for others. It's just the opposite of an orphan heart. An orphan heart goes into the world empty, starving for its deep spiritual needs to be met. And lust is one of the ways we try to meet those needs, to quench that thirst. That's why the character Father Smith in Bruce Marshall's 1945 novel, The World, the Flesh, and Father Smith, says this: "The young man who rings the bell at the brothel is unconsciously looking for God." I've heard this attributed to G.K. Chesterton. He never said this. It's from here. Listen to this again. "The young man who rings the bell at the brothel is unconsciously looking for God. The deep need under the need is spiritual." It's what Blaise Pascal meant when he wrote that there is a God-shaped vacuum at the heart of every person. It's what St. Augustine was referring to in his Confessions when he wrote, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." Friends, do you realize what this means? It means that lust shows me my heart. Lust shows me my heart. When I live in lust, I'm living as an orphan, looking to other human beings to meet the deep soul needs that only God can satisfy. But in the same way, love shows me my heart too. That when I live as a child of God, I look to Him to fulfill my deep soul needs so that I can then give myself away in love and faithfulness in this world and live a life of purity. See, my heart shows me what's real. I can have all the right theology in the world. This is what matters, you see? And so we pray like David, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Friends, maybe this morning you realize you need a clean heart. All your religious efforts have fallen flat. All of your outside-in strategies have never changed your heart. And you're ready in this moment to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is enough, friends. If you will admit you are a sinner, believe that Jesus has done everything to make you right with God, and commit your life to Him, say, "Be my Savior, be my Lord, be my everything. Come give me a new heart." He can change you. This can be your moment of freedom. Or maybe this morning, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, but you realize you've been living as an orphan. For far too long, you've been quenching the Spirit, allowing lust to hold you captive, looking for security, significance, and satisfaction in all the wrong places. Won't you come home? Won't you run to the Father? A few years ago, I read a story of a family from the Midwest. I think it was like Nebraska. And the daughter and the parents had had a falling out, and she ran away from home. And to survive, she had to sell her body to pay the bills. And one day she was in a bar, and she looked up. You know how they have like pictures sometimes of different celebrities on the walls? She looked up and she saw her own picture. It barely looked like her. It was from years ago. She was younger then, but her picture was on the wall, and there was a note written. Her father had gone all over town and hung up these pictures. She went and she took down the picture and she read, "Whatever you've done, whoever you've become, all is forgiven. Please come home." Friends, that's your Father. He loves you And if you realize you're in the pig pen of your life, full of misery, and you come to yourself, just get up and go home. He'll meet you before you even get there. He won't even let you finish apologizing. He'll wrap his arms around you. He'll give you a ring and a robe and filet mignon. Friends, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you're joining us today as we explore how true satisfaction is in our Heavenly Father. Pastor Philip, what an interesting quote that you use from this novel. I want to make sure I get it right. The young man who rings the bell at the brothel is unconsciously looking for God. Oh, my. Man, there's a lot there. What is it exactly he's looking for? We think he's going there for pleasure, right?
You
said there's more to this.
Well, there's a desire under the desire. Yeah. And that's what that quote is getting at. At one level, we think, well, these are just appetites that are strong in my life and I need to go indulge them and all of that kind of stuff, right? But there's actually a deep need underneath that need that's driving a need for relationship with that's intimate and fulfilling and nurturing, for connection. And we were made for God. There's eternity in our hearts. Pascal says a God-shaped hole in the soul of every man, right? That there is a longing for connection with God. We were made for Him. He alone can provide the kind of significance that we need, that to know that we really matter, that we're worthwhile, that we were validated in the universe. You know, He alone is our security and safety, our place where we know we're okay and we can rest in the universe. He alone is our satisfaction. We were made for Him, to delight in His joy and presence and to be fulfilled by Him. And so the reality is we have this deep spiritual cosmic ache that is driving all of these addictive behaviors as we run after sexual pleasure in all the wrong places. It's what the woman at the well found out. You know, she was searching for fulfillment in all these serial relationships, none of which ever worked. And Jesus says, I'm giving you the real thing.
Yeah.
I'm the one you've been looking for in all the wrong places. I'm here. And so part of what Jesus is teaching us here is that God Himself is the one that can nurture the deep needs of our souls that we're running after in all the wrong places. So these things will always disappoint us. The young man ringing at the brothel door, or us scrolling on our phones in private mode, looking at images, like these things always make promises they can never fulfill. That's why when it's all over, you feel empty and shame and unfulfilled. It's like, you know, that's not what you're meant for. And so there's the morning after, you know, kind of ache. It's showing us something about our souls. We're made for more than that. And all of this is it's distorting us as we run after it, when God's the real thing. And if we can learn that He's the one we're longing for underneath all of this, it can really be transformational in our own lives and hearts.
Boy, that's so good. The desire under the desire for satisfaction, for significance, for connection, for intimacy that can only be found in a relationship with the true and living God. So there's someone out there who's listening and they say, you know what? I'm stuck in this cycle. I can't seem to break it. I'm struggling. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but what do we have? What encouragement do we have for somebody who is just constantly, habitually living in sin, and God just seems so far away right now?
I think the first question I would ask of an individual that's struggling with this is, have you ever come home to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Do you even have the experience of like the Holy Spirit inside of you giving you a new heart? Because you can't fight this on your own.
That's right.
And so if you're there in your car or at your desk or whatever you're dealing with as you hear this program, I would just encourage you, if you've never come home to the Lord Jesus Christ, He can change you. This is not something that's too big for Him. And so if you will bring all the broken pieces of your life and come in repentance and say, I'm a sinner and I'm a mess, help me. Jesus, save me from myself. I've made a mess of this. You're my only hope. I trust You that You are enough. I'm giving my life to You. He will answer that prayer.
That's
and
right.
He will come and He will rescue, fill you with the Holy Spirit, and it will start to be a transformational journey for you on that day. And so that would be the first thing. The second thing is, and this relates to a whole lot of us that maybe grew up in church or maybe we know enough of the Bible. We know the rules. We know what we know we're not living rightly. Mm. We're caught in this addictive cycle and we're like, what do I do about it? And you know, the scriptures are constantly inviting us home.
Yeah.
That no matter how far we've run, it's just one turn, one step, and we can come home. 1 John 1, verse 9 is one of my favorite verses. You know, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us of all our unrighteousness. Every one of our sins, Jesus knew beforehand when He died on the cross.
That's right.
And so it might be a surprise to you and me that we are caught in the addiction of sin. It's not a surprise to Jesus. He knows it all. Mm-hmm. So we're not surprising Him, but there's something we've got to do. We've got to own it. We've got to own it before Him and come home. Mm-hmm. And His arms are open wide. The grace of Jesus Christ is the only safe place to actually bring all the broken pieces of our lives. He sees us at our worst and He loves us anyway. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the gospel is good news. This is the one safe place I can actually bring all the ugliness, all the sin, all the shame, all the brokenness of my life, everything I'm trying to hide from everyone else. I can actually bring it into light in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And He won't turn away. Mm-hmm. He'll spread His arms wide and say, I love you this much, right? His nail-pierced hands. So this is the place to come.
Yes, that's really the story of the prodigal son, that he's waiting for us to see mm-hmm. him and accept us. I'm so glad that you raised that point, because people do get caught in these cycles. Pastor, it's like, okay, I'm convicted of my sin, and but conviction isn't conversion. You've got to repent. And mm-hmm. and once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit now enables you to live victorious in this area. Oh, you be encouraged today, beloved. As Pastor Philip reminds us, the young man at the brothel is unconsciously looking for God. We all have deep longings that can only be met in God. To help you point others to the gospel truth we all need, we're offering the book Sent by Heather and Ashley Holloman. This resource helps you live out your identity as one who is chosen, beloved, and sent. Our monthly giving program, Endurance Partners, helps make resources like this possible. Our monthly partners provide the financial stability needed to spread gospel truth through radio and online outreach, answer our listeners' questions about God and the spiritual life, and provide resources that deepen their faith. Endurance Partners help us encourage Christians and reach the lost across the nation. Our listener, Jerry, recently told us he prays every day that Living Hope continues to proclaim the gospel clearly and compassionately. Your monthly gift ensures we can do exactly that. When you request your copy of Sent for a donation of any amount today, you'll have the option to become an Endurance Partner. It's a powerful way to invest in lives being transformed for God's glory. To request your copy of Sent, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. Now, next time, we'll talk about the Old Testament passages on divorce. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by the Moody Church.